The Holy Gospel according to Mark, the 6th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus came to his hometown and his disciples followed him. On the Sabbath, he began to teach in the synagogue, and men who heard him were astounded. They said, "Where did this man get all this? What is this wisdom that has been given to him? What deeds of power are being done by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary and the brother of James, Joseph and Judas and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. Then Jesus said to them, "Prophets are not without honor except in their hometown and among their own kin and in their own house." And Jesus could do no deed of power there except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and cured them. And he was amazed at their unbelief. Then Jesus went about among the villages teaching. He called the 12 and began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over unclean spirits. He ordered them to take nothing for their journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not to put on two tunics. Jesus said to them, "Wherever you enter a house, stay there until you leave the place. If any place will not welcome you and they refuse to hear you as you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them." So they went out and proclaimed that all should repent. They cast out many demons and anointed with oil men who were sick and cured them. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. One of the good things to read this text to a congregation like Unilu is that it's good because I've never heard you stoning any pastor at this congregation. So that's a good thing, right? I hope so. But let me begin to tell you my little story so that this can feed this metaphor in the whole story that we have today. So I've preached in the congregation I grew up. I grew up in too with, you know, my former teachers. I saw them sitting like this. My former teammates, soccer teammates, girlfriends in attendance, and they remembered me. They remembered me as the little Gracious who used to play the role of Joseph on a Sunday school drama, sang in the choir, and the young boy who used to ring the bell before the worship service. And it was my first time to come back to my home congregation after my ordination. And So here are people who were looking at me with the great curiosity of what I was going to preach to them. And among the members in the pews was my aunt, one of my aunts actually, because there were too many. Mrs., by the name Mrs. Nedzi, and was there, sitting there, and I saw her, and I said, oh my God. She was still elderly and still wearing her glasses. She just sat there in the pew, itching to tell me something. And I knew it. Right after the service, she found me and said to me, "You were kind of a wild as a kid, and that everyone was kind of surprised you were going to become a minister." But she went on and said, "Oh, but, well, the difference between you and other kids is that you love to church, you love to come to church and play the drama. So, yeah, that's not a good thing." And I want to tell you something here. I don't think the whole sermon, she listened to my sermon at all. I don't think so. Because I could see she was looking at me, but I don't think she was listening to what I was saying. She was just saying, "Oh, look at this little kid, you know, this naughty little kid." And I was still that little kid, that little naughty kid who loved the church. So it's interesting when I hear this story to me, like, oh my God. Yeah, Jesus is back in his hometown. So it is within this image that we approach the gospel story for today, where Jesus said a prophet is not accepted in his own hometown, in his home country. I mean, when you listen to the phrase exactly as it is, here I paraphrased it, but as it is written in this text, you find what we call a double negative in that phrase. But a more straightforward wording would be, a prophet is honored everywhere except in his hometown and among his own family. That is what he said. But here is something. Mark does not tell us what passage did Jesus read and preached on that day that led to the resistance, besides his miracles, of course, he was seen doing, and the wisdom and other signs of authority Jesus has demonstrated. And the passage Jesus opened on that day, he chose it because it revealed his core values. So when Jesus chose to read from the Isaiah 58 passage, symbolizing his whole ministry, he chose the following passage out of Isaiah, which would then become the basis of his sermon that night. And Jesus read, and I quote this text, "The Lord God has appointed me to preach the good news to the poor, to heal the sick and the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Cross God. So this passage is from Isaiah 58, clearly outlined the important values in Jesus' ministry. But the text said, but they took offense of him. That is the important phrase in this text. They took offense of him. And that is the key word. And I was trying to check my simple Greek and say, why this phrase to me seems to be very important. The word offense in Greek is skandalon, where the word scandal comes from. And also scandal means a stumbling block. So, Jesus is the common kid from Nazareth. You know, the kid who grazed our donkeys, who watered our animals, who drew water from the well for us to drink. There is nothing too special about him. So Jesus must have said something really that got in their nerves, especially from the prophet Isaiah. How can this Jesus guy come back and be even more than a prophet, the Messiah? Not little Jesus of Nazareth. Not the little Jesus boy we used to go fishing with and swimming with and maybe hiking if it was today. Not the little neighborhood boy who delivered our papers. How could God come in such a common and ordinary way as to come through Jesus of Nazareth? That one who he had so recently been just one of them should suddenly now be so far above them. And they took offense. My dear friends, Jesus is certainly doesn't measure up to our expectations of what it means to be a Messiah. And at this time, as we know, the people that day were offended by the incarnation. The God actually became a human. That was a scandal. That was a stumbling block. It was an offense. It was an offense because everyone knew that the Messiah would appear to be super successful and comes from a very successful family. But to believe that God could come to us through some acolyte seems to be pushing it. And that is what so deeply offended the people, the incarnation. That God would come in the flesh of a man they knew. A man by the name Jesus of the town of Nazareth. And if you would want to fast forward that, on that Friday night was the incarnation. The God chose to come as a human who died. But then, it was offensive to others. Others were even angry, especially even the disciples themselves. We followed this guy for so many years. Now he died like a pauper. My dear friends, God comes through a person or persons as near to us. Did you know that? Our family members. I only wish God would choose someone else. I only wish that God would choose someone other than my wife or my husband. Not my kids. No. Perhaps God could pick somebody else to talk to me. My kids can talk to me God's word. But let me tell you something. God can choose anyone or anything. I mean, if you go to the Old Testament, you'll find, Balaam's donkey. You know, the person was beating the donkey, until the donkey said, hey, come on, God can choose anything. And you know the story of Job. When you start to read from the chapter 38 going to 42. So Job was now frustrated and all that and all that. Job was so angry with God. And God was saying to Job, who are you? Who are you? Before the Leviathan was formed. Who are you to say that? So we find God in the whirlwind. God in the whirlwind. So God can choose anything. Anyone to communicate God's message to us. And so what I'm trying to suggest, my dear friends, is that God consistently comes to us and talks to us in common and ordinary ways. And so much so that often we do not even hear the voice of God. Instead, we are looking for the divine symmetry of the universe. You know, people are always, they want to see extraordinary things to begin to say, you see, that is what God looks like. God looks like you and me and everything else around us. Sometimes it is hard to believe that Christ is really present and really speaks to our lives when we see someone is experiencing great poverty and starvation. Who can imagine that God is with the homeless, with those people we see by the corners of the streets? But I'm saying, and imagine, listen to me here. When you give a dollar to those guys who will be standing by the street, I've done so many times, and you hear them say, thank you, God bless you and your family. Oh my God, that's so humbling. Anybody, anything can communicate God's word. But that is the way God comes to us in such common and ordinary ways. And often today, we in the church seem more focused on ourselves, whether our proud accomplishments, our current projects, or our persistent problems, more on these things than on God's power and truth. And one thing I like about this story is that when Jesus was rejected in Nazareth, he did not. Though it was so painful, he did not reject them. In fact, he healed a few sick. He cured their sicknesses. Jesus Christ is here, my dear friends. Jesus Christ is here in your hometown, in this church, in your community, and in your life. Will you receive him? Please, can we make a unison answer? Will you receive him? Yes. Thank you. Thank you. My dear friends, we are called to believe and we are called toward following as participating. So, let me give you the last illustration. Our common bread that we eat every day. Our common wafers. So common, right? Our common, this is not even the best wine, you know? They are even the very good wines that we drink. This is not the best wine. Oh my God. But God is present in this common bread and wine we have in front of us. May the church say amen.
Amen.
Jesus is present in this common meal. So I'm inviting us, my dear friends, to contemplate the possibility that we have actually have something to do, that we have an important role to play in the manifestation of the kingdom. Each one of us is invited to play in sensing, in experiencing, and making known God's will and work in the world. May God bless us all. Amen.
Amen.